So, the city is currently considering a proposal under amendment to the city's 2015 allocation policy for housing opportunities. It could see people who are guilty of, quote, antisocial behavior excluded from rental opportunities. We want to just understand what antisocial behavior means and what constitutes antisocial behavior as per these particular amendments that are currently being proposed. And while they are still being proposed, of course, this is open to public comment. And so we wanted to give an opportunity to you to hear what the case is from the city so that you can make a contribution to this discussion. Good morning, Councillor Aboy. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Gofelo, and good morning to your listeners. I'm good, thanks. And yourself?
Excellent, thank you. All right, so we're speaking specifically here about properties that the city rents out. There are two categories of property, am I right?
Yes, more than two. We've got those. We've got rental stock as the city of Cape Town, which is more than 48,000 units that we own as the city of Cape Town, where we have tenants that are renting from us. So we are the landlord there. And also we have BNG units where people who are unemployed up to those who earn 3,500 get those units. They normally call them RDP houses. And then we've got also social housing and gap housing of those people who are earning anything between 3,500 and up to 22,000 rands, where people can also buy those units from government and we subsidize them.
And we're referring to the first category today.
Yes, that is the main one today, where we've sent out a policy that will enable, which is an allocations policy, that will enable us now going forward to move, because now currently people who can benefit from this particular program is people who earn up to 10,000 rands. Mm. Now we want people who earn up to 15,000 rands to also be able to participate or benefit from this program.
Okay. And there seems to be a shift in eligibility for people from anywhere in South Africa, or if they are property owners at least.
Yes, most definitely. We don't allow people to do double dipping. There are a lot of people who still need to benefit from our housing opportunities. So if you have received a housing opportunity before, we don't enable you to benefit. Also, if you have, for an example, if you have a house that has been given to you by our government, we won't allow you to have access to this particular program.
Often when we discuss this housing story, people who double dip, it's not necessarily that they double dip by owning another property. Sometimes they get that housing from the city, let's say, rent it out and then live elsewhere, but it's not traceable. How do we quell that?
Well, we from our program, which is your rental stock, once you get approved, because some people who are vulnerable or your elderly as well, once they apply for a BNG unit and they qualify, and immediately we move them to that BNG unit. We make that unit where they were renting available. So we are able to monitor those. Where it's difficult at the moment, it's when someone owns an RDP or BNG unit, which is your fully subsidized houses, and then they rent it out. It's still difficult to monitor those. Remember, that particular person now has been given that particular house, and he's a landlord now. What he does with his property, we have a great level of restriction around that matter.
You do? Okay.
Yes.
And then the other qualifying area was that about 90% of those allocated had to be people on the city's housing database. You are now not going to be, you want to close out that 10% that was available to people not on the housing database. Why is that?
Yes, because we have got a high rate of people that are still looking for houses within the city of Cape Town, and we're trying to make sure that our customers, they get a priority. That's why we've taken this process to public participation, because we also want to get their views on the matter. Okay. But because what we're doing as a city is to prioritize them as our customers.
So we'll get to that part, and I'd love for you to help me understand exactly how best we can participate in the discourse. But let's talk about the exclusionary behavior with respect to antisocial. What does that mean?
What it means in simple terms, it's those individuals who get to be problematic in these areas. For example, gangsterism is one of the biggest challenges in our rental stock. So if people are convicted of selling drugs or something of that sort, or people are very abusive to their partners, and those issues have been reported and there's a conviction to that effect, we will not be able to allow those people into, because what we are building, we're building a society, and a society that can progress. Now, if we're going to allow people who are going to, because of their social behaviors, destabilize the communities that we are trying to build, it becomes a very difficult and a sore point for us.
Yes, so this comes a little bit, not that long after the sort of quote nuisance bylaws that were put through by the city, you know, where search and seizures, you know, were allowed and impounding without a warrant. What if there are outcomes from those nuisance bylaws that now impact people that didn't have the opportunity, you know, to have a warrant before and some kind of, I guess, probable cause before the city put them in the system that I suppose would call them antisocial?
That particular bylaw is being championed by safety and security, from which is a totally different directorate.
Understood.
But yes, but what it does, it has no impact particularly on this one. But obviously, once we get to understand, because safety and security, they play a key role in our in our rental stock, because they are the ones who respond on these antisocial behaviors, on gangsterism, and they monitor those for us. But in at the end of the day, we'll be able to consider any information that gets to be produced by them when someone is making an application. But the nuisance bylaw is a totally different bylaw
that is
being championed. That, yes.
What I'm saying is, a person could end up in the system after that nuisance bylaw without having had probable cause, for example, for a warrant, right?
Safety and security, I believe that they're taking the matter to public for public participation as well.
Okay.
They're getting their input from public, which is, and I think they'll be extending and making sure that they get more inputs. Because remember, some of us who are not staying in these rental units don't understand the frustration that is being confronted by these individuals. So it's important for us to also listen to their voice. If they feel that this brings some animosity in the environment in which they live in, we need to consider those.
Yeah. You know, Malusi, my concerns here tend to be around the fact that, you know, those kinds of nuisance bylaws tend to inordinately impact the poor, and I fear, for example, that those kinds of control tactics can sometimes find ourselves criminalizing poverty, and that's why I'm kind of just raising the question, not to suggest that that's coming through your policy here. So help us understand.
No, I agree, but yeah. All I'm saying, let's allow that process of public participation and where that bylaw is being taken to, and then when we have the final product, perhaps we can interrogate that. But up until the final product comes through, because we don't know what will be the outcome of it at the end of the day. But I understand the sentiment where you're coming from, but I don't think a bylaw can just be developed to restrain certain people. But it's more of making sure that it's transparent and fairness.
Okay. How do we participate in this process?
Well, we have up until the 21st of July, and it was opened in mid-June as well. So people will be making their input. They can visit our offices, our housing offices, for their input, and also particularly the sub-councils. They can all go to their sub-councils. They will be guided. We have officials that are dedicated from a public participation point of view. Also, they can come to the civic center, those who want to make an input who are in the inner city. So we have offices from Kraaifontein, Milnerton, across the city in Paro, so we are encouraging people to make inputs in those sub-councils.
Councillor Malusi Poyi, MECO member for Human Settlements, thank you very much.
Thank you.